Isn't it precious of the Lord to give you and me the opportunity of just sitting down and talking about His ways, what He wants, and what He has accomplished for us, and how my own heart has reveled as I have thought of our Savior in discussing with you, meditating with you on this marvelous book of Ephesians. I know we're going awfully slow. I know that. But will you bear with me as I just kind of open up my heart to you day by day on this program? You see, I'm concerned about the glory of God being revealed in you and me in our daily walk and conversation. And in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Ephesians, God is dealing with this. And I want you as Christians, and I'm talking to myself when I say this, I'm sure God wants us to walk as those who are the children of one who is God. We are to walk worthy of our heavenly calling, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, with joyfulness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and so on. Now we come to the basis for such a walk. Verses 4 to 6. And remember, you and I cannot keep this unity. We can't make it. But He wants us to keep it. It may be an endeavor, but do so. Make an endeavor to do so. See? Now the basis of this walk, the basis for our walking in the unity of the Spirit is because of our unity in position, which you have in the next two or three verses. Verses 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now here He is talking about the foundations for such a unity in the Spirit. And mark you, He's talking about all His people. He's talking about every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have had a real experience with Christ, who have accepted Him as their Savior, who know that they belong to the Lord. I'm not talking about those in empty profession. I'm talking about those who have really had a transaction with the Savior. You've come as a sinner, as a child of wrath, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And it's to you He bases this thing. And this is true of the weak believer as well as the strong believer. Let me read the verses again. There is one body, there is one Spirit, you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now I know there are those who say, now there's only one church and that's our church. And they talk about their own individual local church. We are the church. May I suggest to you, my friend, the Bible declares that every real believer in Christ is a member of the church, the body of Christ. The Roman church, I speak of the book of Romans, the church at Rome, and I'm not speaking of the Roman Catholic Church, I'm talking about Paul's epistles now. He wrote to the church at Rome. They were Christians. The next book is the Corinthian church, carnal, worldly, full of frailty and weakness and failure, but they call them the temples of the Spirit of God. They belong to the church of Christ. In fact, it was to the Corinthian church He gives to us a great deal of instruction upon the church in chapters 12 through 14. And then you have the Galatian church. Now, the Galatian church was full of legalism, yet they were the church of Christ. And then you come to the Ephesian church, and they had lost their first love, but they were the church of Christ. Then you come to the Philippian church, the church in suffering, but they were the church of Christ. And you take the Colossian church, and there you have a lot of false philosophy and Gnosticism. And Paul has to warn them about these various false asceticisms and false mysticism and formalism and legality and so forth and so on, but they were the church of Christ. And then when you come to the Thessalonian church, in the first book of Thessalonians, you have where they were waiting for His Son from heaven. They had returned to God from idols, but they had some problems, and they were to walk worthy of the vocation. They were to walk, be holy before God, and they were to be loving before the brethren, They would be honest to those who were outside, but they were the church of Christ, likewise in 2 Thessalonians, and one can go on. The churches. Or you take the second and third chapters of Revelation. You've got the church at Ephesus, at Smyrna, at Pergamos, at Thyatira, at Sardis, at Philadelphia, at Laodicea, and he calls them the churches. So when you say that your church is the only church, the only true church, you better take that with a big question mark. Every real believer in Christ. Now, it may be that I don't agree with every believer. It may be that I may not have fellowship with every believer, but I should. But we're believers in Christ. Now then, let's look at these things. The ground, the basis for our walk in the unity of the Spirit. There is one body, that's the church of Jesus Christ, of which he has been speaking in chapters 1 and 3 of Ephesians. The one body made up of all believers in Christ, one church. And there is one Spirit, and I believe he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit who unifies all believers in Christ. Do you remember we've been joined together by the Spirit of God in Christ? Our bodies have become the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit, as you have in Corinthians chapter 6. And then there's one hope of our calling, as you find in Romans 8:29. And what is that? That God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of his Son. We have one hope, that's the coming of our Savior. Paul could say to Timothy, Christ Jesus, our hope. And then there's one Lord. And this unity, we recognize that we have one Lord, Jesus Christ. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. There's only one Lord over all believers. And there's one faith. And you remember in Jude verse 3, we are informed, we're exhorted, verses 3 and 4 of the book of Jude, to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. There's one faith, one body of truth, which has to do with the deity of our Savior, his sinless life, his redemptive work at the cross for men and women, his physical resurrection from the grave, his exaltation to God's right hand to be a prince and a Savior, and as the book of Hebrews says, to be Lord over all, having all authority as our high priest. And so one goes on, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. Now we're coming to something. One baptism. Which one do you say it is? You see, the New Testament deals with three baptisms. Did you know that? Our Savior spoke to the disciples on the baptism of suffering. You remember one day the mother of James and John asked the Lord that her son should be one on his right hand and one on his left hand when he came into his kingdom. And the Lord says, I can't do that. That's in the hands of my Father. And then he made this statement, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? And they said, we're able. And he said, you will do so. This is the baptism. He was talking about his death, the baptism of suffering. And then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is that which joins us together in the body of Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, we have all been baptized by one Spirit into one body, and have all been made to drink of that self-same Spirit. You remember six times before that, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And you go on down through the passages. In Matthew chapter 3, in Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, John chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 12:13. This has to do with the baptism of the Spirit. And then there is a baptism by water. And John baptized them by water. The disciples baptized them by water. In the book of Acts, they were baptized in water. And this is what man does. Man cannot baptize anybody by the Spirit. This is what God does. But man baptizes by water. So you have here this one baptism. Which one is it? Now remember, he's talking about the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The walk endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And I personally believe that he's dealing here with the oneness of believers. We are to deal, we are to endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit, because there's one baptism. And that, of course, must be the baptism of the Spirit, which unites all believers into one body. This is the theme. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking to Christians who've been knitted together by the Spirit of God into one body called the church. And this is what he's dealing with. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's one God and Father of all, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In other words, there's just one family. You remember we had this in Galatians 3:26, talking to Christians. We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I know some take that verse and say everybody on the earth is a Christian because we're all children of God because the Bible says so. But now what the Bible really says is we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And remember, you've got to take John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Or Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the children of God, the sons of God. So you have here the basis for our walk. There must be the unity of the Spirit among God's people. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what he wants, because we're all one in Christ. So we have in verses 1 to 3 how we are to walk, and in verses 4 to 6 the basis for such a walk is because of our unity in position in Christ. And then tomorrow, in our next lesson, we shall be taking up the result of such a walk in these next few verses. Now the Lord grant you today to walk, to endeavor, to see to it that you walk in the unity of the Spirit. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the Lord wonderfully bless you today for his name's sake.